praise the Lord. In Africa, two brothers, Kwaku and Yao, were digging in their father's farm, planting yams. One brother called to the other because when he was digging, he discovered a metal box. And they digged and digged together, trying to dig up the metal box, but it was too big. So finally, they decided to break the padlock and open it. And when they did, they were overjoyed when they looked inside and they saw the gold. With great joy, they reached in their hand, not noticing that there were some golden-colored snakes also living in that box. And when they reached in to grab those golden coins, they were bitten by the snake. Yao immediately jumped up, ripped his shirt, and tied it around the place where the snake had bit him. He ran to the street. He quickly got a taxi. He rushed to the hospital. He was given some anti-snake venom injection. And over a period of time, he recovered completely. But Kwaku, on the other hand, was very worried about the gold. So he quickly grabbed the cover and covered the metal box. Then he quickly grabbed his shovel and he recovered the metal box. And then he cut down a plantain leaf and covered that so no one would notice where he had been digging. And then he set off for the road. But as he ran to the road, the snake venom had been moving in his body and his throat began to swell up and he could no longer breathe. He never reached the roadside and he fell down and died. What is the difference between the two brothers? He said, well, it's obvious. One realized the seriousness of the bite, and one didn't. One realized that everything hung in the balance. He understood the importance of time. We also have a terrible snake bite. Back in the Garden of Eden, our mother and father were bitten by a terrible lie that they could eat of the fruits and they would become like God. And because of that terrible snake bite back in the garden, we have now to understand that there is an important thing about time. We have an urgency in our message to deliver the message, to get the antidote to people in time. And so as you think about these two men, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And please stand with me as I begin reading at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be what? In Christ, he is what? A new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Now, let me add there all the new things, all right? Because that's what we're talking about. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us what? He's given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Right away, let's realize that this ministry has been given to us. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, what again? The word of reconciliation. So first, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now we've been committed the word or the message of reconciliation. Look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's quick and it's powerful. And Father, we need to be reminded that you have given us the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, and you have made us ambassadors. And Father, may we not take this work carelessly, but may we understand the urgency of the hour. Please bless us tonight as we study your word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Please be seated. God is using us as ambassadors to speak to you. This is what Paul was telling the Corinthians. Therefore, we urge you, as though Christ himself were pleading with you, be reconciled to God. Paul is letting the church at Corinth know that they had a responsibility to urge people, to plead with people, to be reconciled unto God. Even though this is the work that God does, it's our job to proclaim this ministry, this word, this ambassadorship, that people need to be reconciled to God. Do you know that the average person today, when you tell them they have sinned or they are a sinner, they get offended? Because what does that mean? I was witnessing to a man one day and he asked me, "What is sin?" And I told him, "Sin is anything, any word or thought or deed you do against the word of God." And he says, "How do we know what a sin is?" I said, "Well, we have to look into the word of God, because God tells us what sin is." And he was very upset about that. Why should God determine what sin is? Because he's God. And God has determined what sin is and told us what sin is, and we need to be reconciled to him because he is the creator. And we're living in a day and age when people don't want to submit to the authority of a God who says this is right and this is wrong. This is a sin and it offends me, and you need to be reconciled to me. We live in a day and age when people don't want you to tell them this is right and this is wrong. That's your opinion. Do you know right and wrong is not on my opinion? I don't decide what is right and wrong. God does. And people need to be reconciled to God because he said, this offends me. And if you offend God, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And so people need to be warned that they need to be reconciled to God because God is offended and he needs us to be reconciled to him. Tonight, I want you to know that every Christian can be a powerful ambassador of Christ by rightly obeying these three commands. Once we understand it's our ministry to reconcile people to Christ, once we understand we've received the word of reconciliation to give to them, once we understand that we are ambassadors, you didn't choose to be ambassador, you were called to be an ambassador, you were sent to be an ambassador, God is the one who's told you that. The message is very simple in verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. And Christ knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God is offended, and God says, even though I'm offended, I'm going to reconcile you to myself by taking your sin and putting it on my son. And then I'm going to take my son's glory, his righteousness, his holiness, and I'm going to put it on you. All you have to do is cry out, I believe in Jesus Christ, and you'll be reconciled to God. It's not a work that you do, it's a work that he's done, and it's something he wants to do for us. He loves us. This is the message of reconciliation. It's not keep the law and you'll be reconciled to God. It's believe in Christ and be reconciled unto God. This is the message of verse 21. And now that we have the message, we begin looking at verse 1 of chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. The first command I want you to understand tonight, if you will be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, is you must rightly receive the message. That's step number one, rightly receive the message. You say, what does that mean? Well, in verse 1, Paul says to the people of Corinth, we then, as workers together, or partners, we're partnering with God because he's made us ambassadors. We're partnering with him. We're working together with him. He beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. What does it mean to receive the grace of God in vain? If you're here and you've trusted in Jesus Christ and you neglect or ignore the urgency of this message, you have received it in vain. You see, when Yao was bitten by the snake, he understood the urgency and his need of the medication. And he immediately tied off the blood flow so that that blood would not go into his bloodstream. That poison would not move through his body. He got to a place where he could get healing and medicine and be treated. But Kwaku was totally consumed with keeping the gold. And do you know that's the problem in America today? Though we know we've offended God, though we know that the venom is in us, and when it moves throughout our body, it will destroy us, we are so concerned with protecting our stuff. We're so worried that someone else will get our stuff or take our stuff, and we're so concerned about the materialism of our day that we don't realize that it's our life that's more important. And we actually throw away our life in order to grab the stuff. And God says, listen, the stuff is not important. What's important is that you get reconciled to me. Because once you get reconciled to me, I'll take care of all the stuff. And that's where the faith comes in. And so when you and I receive this message, we receive it in vain if we do not proclaim what God has done for us. Who should call people to believe this message but those who have already believed it? I ask our people in our church often, who is going to reach the people in the villages around us if we don't go? Do you think the fetish priest will go and tell them the good news? Do you think the church down the road that does not have the truth will go and tell them the good news? And I ask them about who will take the good news to them. And at the end of it, they say, Pastor, it's our job. We've got to do it. Because if we don't get them the gospel, they won't get it. And so we realize we have a responsibility. And so when it says, we then, as workers together, partners with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Can you say, I know if I die today, I'm on my way to heaven? Then you have received the grace. But if you are not endeavoring to preach that, teach that, share that, you are receiving it in vain. You've got it. It's for you. It's for you alone. And you don't care if the rest of the world gets it. And that's the complaint that Paul has given to them. You can't receive this message and do nothing with it. Don't receive it and ignore the urgency of the message that you have. If we, as the children of grace, are quiet about the love of God, if we, the children of grace, are quiet about the cross of Jesus Christ, if we, the children of God, are quiet about the empty tomb in the victory of Jesus Christ, if we are quiet about this message that God wants to reconcile people to himself, then we have received the grace in vain, selfishly and worthlessly, because it has not benefited anybody else. You've received it and you say, I'm enjoying the grace of God, but I care not for any other man. And Paul said to them, then you have received it in vain. So if we're going to be the ambassador of Jesus Christ, rule number one, we must rightly receive the grace of God, this message of salvation. Secondly, I want you to look at verse 2. Verse 2 tells us how to deliver it. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not only do you have to receive the message correctly, we must rightly deliver the message. Do you know if you have the antidote and you don't deliver the antidote on time and the person dies, after they die, if you go to inject it into them, it does them no good. I have never been to a funeral where I've been asked to preach to the dead person. I'm always asked to preach to the living. I've been to many funerals and I have never seen the one at the funeral who's dead receive salvation. You know why? Because it's too late. The now is gone and it's now to the never. And so we need to understand the urgency. For God says, I have heard thee and a time accepted. Urgency in the sensitivity to the message. If we have this message and we do nothing with the message, people are going to die in their sins. And so Paul says to the church at Corinth, not only do you need to rightly receive the message, you must rightly deliver the message because it's time sensitive. This is the day of salvation. This is the day that I will help you. This is the day appointed for salvation that I will come to rescue you. As Pastor Kim told us this morning, this is a quote from Isaiah that Paul is reminding the church at Corinth that there is an accepted time of salvation. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. It's like saying, look, God is ready to save. God is ready to save. We have a message that God is ready to save. And we don't know about tomorrow. I think it was on Tuesday night we ended the service, or Monday nights we ended the service, and after a get-together Sunday night, there was a tornado warning in the area. And as I was driving back to Grand Prairie, the newscaster was telling us that a tornado had touched down there in Grand Prairie, and he was giving us the location. And you know what? When we came to church, we had no idea when we would be leaving church that the roads would be flooding, that there would be winds around, and that all those people that were there to watch the Dallas football game would be stuck in the stadium because of weather. Do you know what? We don't know what is going to happen next. We never know what is going to happen next. That person you love that doesn't know the gospel, if you don't deliver to them in time, then they have not received the message. So not only do we need to rightly receive the message, not receive it in vain, we have to rightly deliver the message in a timely fashion, knowing that it's time sensitive. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be saved. We cannot delay. We cannot keep procrastinating to get the work done. If we do not reach this generation will be lost. And over again, we must remind ourselves, we can't say, later we're going to get it done. We must have a now mentality. What will we do to reach Fort Worth now? What will we do to reach our community now? Because that's rightly delivering the message. If you're going to the airport to catch a plane at 9 a.m., would you arrive at 9:30 and expect to catch the plane? But that's the way we treat the gospel. We know that it's time sensitive. And then yet we treat it like it doesn't matter. When we get to it, we'll get to it. And it's a careless. So we've rightly received it, but have we rightly delivered the message? I think you remember reading through the Bible about the time that the Lord was leading Egypt, leading Israel out of Egypt. And as they traveled through the wilderness, they got hungry. And they began to complain. And they began to murmur. And God was offended, wasn't he? He was offended. So what did he do when he was offended? He told some snakes to bite the people. And when the snakes bit the people, they began to die. So Moses ran to God and said, God, what are we going to do? We've offended you. We want to get right with you. What should we do? God said, please take a serpent and put it on a brass pole and put it up and tell people if they what? If they look upon it, they will what? They will live. That was time sensitive. Because, you know, after the snake bit you, if you determined looking at a brass pole, how could that help me? That's stupid. I won't do it. What happened? You died. It's pretty simple. It's what we call a no-brainer. God says, look and live. The gospel hasn't changed. His son was lifted up on a cross. And it's a time-sensitive. Sin is going to kill us. The penalty for sin is death. And we're shouting out, look and live. And some people will say, you know, that's just too easy. That just can't do it. Maybe I need to crawl on my knees for a mile until they bleed. And then I need to kiss a statue. And I need to do this. And I need to do that. And I need to keep these sacraments and obey these commands. And I need to be able to speak in tongues. And they have all kinds of things they want to present as the gospel. And they don't want to believe that I must look to Jesus Christ and live. And that's delivering the message rightly. And so we see here that Paul tells them in verse 2, he will hear you in the accepted time. And that means we must deliver the message on time because there's an accepted time. The third thing I want you to realize is in verse 3. In verse 3, it says, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Now this is rightly displaying the message. We have to rightly receive it, we have to rightly deliver it, and we have to rightly display it. I've met some people that have said they've received Christ, and they will tell people about Christ, but there's something about their life that really destroys the message. And so Paul says in verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Listen to this. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessity, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Amen. Do you realize what it takes to rightly display the message? How many of you would say, that's my life verse right there, Brother Steve. I like that. How many of you spotted your life verse in those last ones that I read from three going? That didn't sound real exciting, did it? This is all or nothing, isn't it? Rightly receiving the message is wonderful. Jesus Christ did it all. He did it all for me at Calvary. I received the message. He became sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. I like that. And you know what? Delivering the message on time, I can do that. I don't like to procrastinate. I like to get up early. I like to work hard. I can deliver the message on time. But I'm telling you this last one, rightly displaying the message is where we have some of our biggest problems. If there's anything that breaks my heart about Baptists is that we will refuse to work together to get great things done. If we can work together, we can get great things done. Do you believe that? If we can work together, we can get great things done. But if everyone's going to do their own thing and pull in a different direction, we literally slow each other down. And see, when we get to this part where we're going to rightly display the message, people are going to look at us and say, you know what? They don't give an offense in anything. They're an encouragement. They're a blessing. And look at these things that he tells us, how we're going to work out our salvation. But in all things, verse 4, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses. I've lived in Africa now 21 years. And as the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, we have buried a lot of people. We have gone through many funerals, many discouragement, many afflictions. I had to bury my wife, and then I buried a very close friend, John Hayes, and then a hero in my life, a man who's preaching, has molded me and helped me since the time I was a young man. Pastor Bob Hayes has touched my life. And you know what? I think of them when I read this verse, when I read about these men that endured afflictions and necessities and distresses and trials for the word of God. They were in Africa to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. In the back of our church, we have a map of the Techiman district. And every village that's around our church is represented on that map. And I ask our people, do you have family living in this village? Do you have family living in this village? Who will go and tell them? Who will go and tell them? Who will go and tell them the good news? And so if we understand our responsibility, on the other side of the back of our church, we have a map of Ghana, and we have pinpointed some of the largest, most critical cities that need the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we know there is no good testimony for Jesus Christ in that city, and we're burdened for that city. And I want the young people in our church to grow up knowing these are all the places that need a church in our district. These are all the places in Ghana that need an independent fundamental Baptist church. And then we take them to a map of the world and we tell them, where will God send someone from our church to reach this point? Because you know what? This is far from America, but it's close to us. Maybe God would call someone from our church to do it, and maybe someone in America would help us. But we need to get the gospel to these people. And that's what we call collaborating. We're closer than you. We might have more manpower than you, but you might assist us in the project. And that's working together. We must work hard to deliver the message now. I remember reading Dr. Keene's book, Thinking Outside the Box, and he made a statement in that book that has just resonated in my heart. If we continue to do the same things, we're going to continue to get the same results, right? If we're going to get a different result than we're getting, we're going to have to do something different. And if we're going to reach the world now in this generation, there's going to have to be a movement in our church that says it's our desire. We have not received the grace of God in vain. We want to rightly receive the gospel. And then we want to rightly deliver the message that God has given to us. And we need to rightly display the message. And I believe the scriptures are very clear. If we are persuaded that we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and it's our responsibility to rightly receive the message, rightly deliver the message, and rightly display the message, then we will be the right ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And so I bring you back to this verse 2, chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Paul was saying this to the church in Corinth almost 2,000 years ago. I've heard thee in the time accepted. We are still in the day of salvation. Praise God. And we're praying that Jesus Christ would come quickly. I don't know about you, but I pray for his coming. I pray that he would come even tonight. But if he should tarry, have we received the message right? Have we delivered it right? And have we displayed it right? Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, we're challenged. And I pray tonight that we would be persuaded that it is our job to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for missionaries. It's for every member of the church. I pray that you'd work in our hearts and our lives this week, that we would be persuaded that we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and we want to do an excellent job representing him in our world today. I ask this in Jesus' name.